Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you. Sometimes we get kind of used to seeing each other and kind of maybe take each other for granted a little bit. But I'd like to purposely and specifically not do that this morning. Just consider as we sit here, and for most of us, for all of us, probably some of us know each other better than others, but we're sitting here with our friends. These are people we know and people we love and people who care about us and people that are willing to even sometimes say the hard things that need to be said. And they're people you believe what they say. They're trustworthy. That's who we are here this morning. And what's more, for most of us, I see a few visitors here that I haven't seen for a while and appreciate seeing them. Brother Ron, Brother Peter, I haven't seen you for a while. Thank you for coming. But we're sitting here and we're a part of God's kingdom. We're a part that God has put his stamp of blessing on. Can we take that? Can we understand that? We, and there's many other people too, but we're part of that group, that God has said, you're mine. I approve of you. And now we're all here together. So let's not take each other for granted. We sang a song this morning, number 607. And that song just inspired me, as lots of times the singing here as we sing does. But it inspired me because it said, he talked about Jesus resplendent in glory. Resplendent in glory. Try to picture that. And loud was the chorus of angels on high. When the Lord died and was resurrected, and he came back there, and he was resplendent in glory, and the angels just couldn't keep quiet anymore. They just had to say, to have that loud chorus of welcome and praise and honor to the Lord. They had to do that. And we get to worship that Lord today, that King today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I was pleased, I guess to say the right word, with Brother Marvin's opening this morning. It kind of coincides with my message this morning. And I wanted to say to you all this morning, I was awake almost all night last night, and I don't say that boastfully. I just simply say that because it is inspiring to spend time with the Lord. It just inspires me, and it gives me something to go on, and it fires me up because the Lord is with me. So I'm not requesting anything, but if you ever have the inclination sometime, just spend a night with the Lord. You might be surprised what you may feel and what you may do, what you may hear. It's a blessing. A couple other things I wanted to say before I get into the message. The title of the message is The Weight of Sin, or of Patience, Faith, and Perseverance. That is the title of the message. But I wanted to say this. I have a bit of a burden. And maybe it's because of my own need and my own heart. I have a bit of a burden that I would be holy and pure all the way through. So that when you look at me and you hear what I have to say, you can know that's my heart. It's not just because of something I'm saying here this morning. That's what I desire to be. And maybe that's the reason for my burden a bit this morning. I want us, and I know God does too, he wants us, each one, to be completely holy and pure. When I say pure, I mean, of course, sinless, but I mean you're the same thing all the way through. What you see on the outside is what's on the inside. That's a bit of the burden of my heart this morning. That we all might be that way. That I can look at any one of you, brothers and sisters, and I can see that What you look like on the outside right here as I look at you, I see purity, I see holiness, I see righteousness, I see biblical example. I want to believe. The burden of my heart is, and I'm going to dare say, there's probably some sitting here, and maybe it's even me standing here, who are not that way. They look better on the outside than they are on the inside. Making no accusations. I'm thinking of no one in particular. But that's a bit of my burden this morning. You decide. You decide whether you are or whether you are not. Between you and God. One more thing I wanted to say about the opening this morning was that Brother Marvin brought out the idea of walls and the value of walls, the protection of walls. Well, you know, the walls are there for a couple reasons. One thing, and Brother Marvin brought this out, they're there for protection. Amen. And there's gates in those walls. So if somebody said to let the good in, let keep the bad out. That's good. But there's another reason there's walls there. When all those people round about Jerusalem, and they were not Jews, they looked at that and they looked at that and saw shame and they saw weakness and they saw a group of people who just simply weren't able to maintain. They were just destroyed. So the purpose to build those walls was for the glory of God. And I want to encourage you this morning, encourage me this morning, us this morning. Walls are not bad. They are for the glory of God. Let our walls be glorious to our God. Let our walls be glorious. Let the things that we hold on to, those things that we hold, put up for protection, those things we accept for protection, that they're for the glory of God. And we say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given and what you've done. Let's all stand together for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Yes, Lord, we pray for that. That your kingdom would come into our lives and your will would be done in our lives just like it is in heaven, perfectly. We pray this morning as we stand before you, we all here stand before you, Lord, we pray that with your Holy Spirit, you would come in and you would make your presence known in each of our hearts. Whether it be to shine on those parts that need to be rooted out, or whether it be to shine and give us an assurance and shine on those parts that are a blessing. But we pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to come and shine in our hearts, each of us this morning. We pray, Father, that you would be honored and glorified because we have met together. That each one of us, as we sit here, in all of our Sunday best, and we give an image. I pray, Father, that it would be pure and true and holy all the way through us. That what we see on the outside is what is on the inside, if that's the right way to say it. Father, I pray that you would make us holy. Make us pure. Purify us. Make us clean, I pray, Father. Help us to open our ears to hear and our eyes to see, that we might learn, we might understand what you might have to say to us this morning. Father, I pray your blessing on this congregation and all that have come. Father, bless them and make their life a testimony of the power of God, that there, the things they do, yea, the walls they build, it might all redound to your glory. I pray that for each one of us, Lord. And may we leave this place, Lord, a little more inspired to be able to walk a little closer to you. A little more encouraged to stay away from those things of the world, those things of evil, and those things of sin, but to walk in that straight and narrow path. Help us, Father, to walk, go out of here this morning just a little more that way, because you're worthy. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, I'd like to base my comments essentially out of there. And I'll read the first two verses. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. We get to look up at him. We get to let him be our pattern, to be our God, to be our the one we worship. We get to look at him. And in him is no discrepancy. There's no sin. There's no weight besetting him. We get to look up at him. This morning, I want to think about these verses just a little bit. I want to think also, maybe first, about some other verses that say somewhat the same thing. And you can turn, if you'd like, in Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Paul says it this way, maybe beginning in verse 11, and that, knowing the time, that it now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. All those things that are distractions to us, those things that are sin to us, let us cast them off and say no and walk with the Spirit of Christ. That's my heart this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. That's spoken to every single one of us. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Paul says, I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly. I know where I'm going. I know what's right. I know that I want to win this race. He says, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air and doesn't get anywhere, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We all run in a race. Every one of us is running a race. We're going to end up somewhere. We're going to either get to the end, we're going to get the prize or not. One or the other. There's not a halfway mark here. We don't get. The scriptures tell us, it says, they that endure to the end shall be saved. It's not a halfway thing. It's not, well, I did pretty good, Lord. I got halfway. No, it's they that endure to the end shall be saved. That means that when we set in our hearts, when we become born again, when we declare before God and the angels and all the witnesses as you were baptized, is just a cap sheaf of it all, when you do that, you say, I will run to the end, and there's no turning back. Don't turn back. He that putteth his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. We're not going halfway. We're going all the way. No darkness in us. Casting off the works of darkness, putting on the armor of light. You know that armor of light? You know that's not just that's not just a coincidental thing. That's not just an easy thing. It's an armor. It's an armor of light. It's an armor of righteousness. It's an armor of truth. When we put that on, we are protected. Let's put it on. Casting off the works of darkness, putting on the armor of light. 9:26. I read all those. But I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, or when I have spoken to others, or when I have lived my example to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says, I am willing to be to take what it do what it takes. I build the walls if I need to build the walls, and we do. To do that, so that I myself might accomplish my end, that I might run that race and get to the end and get to the prize. Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 2, he says, he's telling his testimony. I went up by revelation and communicated with them that that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, that gospel which you preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He had a vision. He had a purpose. And he knew where he wanted to go, and he was going to run, and he was going to go all the way, and he wasn't going to stop halfway. He was going to go all the way. May we each one have that kind of a spirit also. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means, what do I think about? What do I value? I find myself, and you can probably say the same thing, I find myself, you know, the things I love or the things I think about. That's what fills my mind. Those things that I enjoy, those things that I like, that fills my mind. What is your mind filled with? What is my mind filled with? Going back now to Hebrews chapter 12 there, verse 1. He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, when we think of patience, that means slow down. That means don't get excited. I mean, just keep things under control. Actually, it actually means the word the Greek word that comes from actually means endurance, constancy, and perseverance. Run, constantly running, constantly persevering, enduring, walking on. Not turning around, not giving up, not letting those trivial things of life enter in so much that we forget about who we really are. Have you ever, I've done it more than once, unfortunately, but I think I talked about this the last time maybe, but I gotten off the airplane or I got home from traveling somewhere. I hadn't talked to anybody about the Lord besides those people that were expecting it like you. Patience means endurance. Patience means perseverance. That means we don't give up. Those little things that tend to draw us away and draw our minds away and distract us into other things. You sit down for your quiet time, for example, and you find yourself, or you sit down and you kneel down to pray and you find your mind wandering. Perseverance. Perseverance. That's what God wants. That will make you grow. That will get you to the end of your race. That'll get you the prize. Perseverance. A race is not easy. A race is something that it takes effort. And we're all in a race. Every runner knows, as he starts out on that race, well, an experienced runner, and we're learning these things. We're learning what an experienced runner's learn. We're learning that when he starts out on a race, he has to pace himself. Okay, that's what a runner needs to do. If he's going to run a mile or the 440 or the 880 or whatever he wants to run, he's going to have to pace himself. You got the short race where you run a sprint and you just give it all you got all the way. In this case, in this longer race, what we have, we've got to race to the end. We've got to hold on. We've got to continue. And it's going to take some pacing. Every runner knows when he starts out on that race, when he gets done, he wants to be done. No energy left. He put everything he had into that race. And he got to the end. And he gave it all he had. And in our race, that's the winner. Half-heartedness, lackadaisicalness, carrying a little weight here and there. I'll get to that in a little bit. That doesn't win the race. That gets tiring. When I set out and I decide I'm going to just give it all I got and I can't make it all the way, I get too tired and I can't do it. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Some of us have been running this race longer than some of the rest of us. And it's good, and I encourage zeal commitment to those young Christians who decide they've set their heart on this race, and they're going to go all the way, and they're going to give it all they've got. Amen. Do that. Keep doing that. The Lord, He said one place to Paul, He said, Paul wanted to get rid of some of these obstacles in his race. And he said, no. The Lord said, no. He said, my grace, my power is sufficient for thee. So we start out and we give it all we've got all the time. But this is the point I want to make. There are some things that maybe us older ones, maybe not, it's not a given, that we can endure those temptations. We're not as tempted about some things as some of the others are. That's what I mean when we need to pace ourselves. We need to be careful as we set out on our race that those of us, we all need to do some of this. We need to be careful that we don't allow ourselves too much liberty, so to speak. That we said in our hearts that I will not allow this. Or what we've done here, we're going to have filters on our computers. That's pacing yourself. Or we're going to, whatever else you want to say, whatever other example you might think of, we're going to be sure that the books we read are good books. And you could go on. Or the dresses we wear, or the clothes we wear, that they're good books. They're good clothes. They do what they're supposed to do. And our attitude and our character, that it does what it's supposed to. We pace ourselves. We say, this I can allow, this I cannot. That's what I mean by let's pace ourselves. Every race has rules. Every race has a path you must walk on or run on, whatever you're doing, in order to run the race properly and correctly. Every race has rules. It has boundaries. And every race has a finish line. Your race has a finish line. And we don't know where it is. We kind of hope to or anticipate that it's, for you younger ones, it's 40, 50, 60 years down the road or more. For some of us older ones, it's not that far. We don't know when it might be. But it has a finish line. Keep that in mind. It has a finish line. It's the temptation of the ages. The young men, the young ladies say, oh, I've got plenty of time. Our life has a finish line. Every race has a finish line. Keep that in mind. Now, there is races where you actually, in a horse race, for example, I've never seen one, but I've heard this, that they have what they call a handicap. If I understand it right, and I may not, I don't know. But certain horses have to carry more weight than others. It just depends on how fast they are. If a horse has a reputation for being very, very fast, he carries more weight than the one who doesn't have the reputation for being so very fast. Trying to even it up a little bit. That's called a handicap. He carries that weight because the people know that that restricts him from running as fast as he could, trying to even things out a little bit. And our race in life is no different. The more weight we carry, the slower we run, the tireder we get. The more temptation there is to slow down, the more temptation there is to quit, the more weight we carry. In fact, Paul says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I don't set a bowl of candy out on the counter where my 5-year-old can reach it and give him no restrictions. I don't do that. That's not wise. We all know that. Or, I think I mentioned it already. No, I didn't either. I mentioned the computers. Our cell phones. We ask our younger ones to have it a little blocked down, a little tighter than the older ones. Right or wrong? But it's the purpose is that we don't set a handicap in front of our children, in front of ourselves. So just be aware of that. When you allow something in your life, when you say, I think I can do this, or I think I can have that, or I can buy this, or I can sell that, or whatever it is, just be aware of what kind of a handicap you might be putting on yourself. This sin that this talks about, I forgot this. This sin that this talks about, the weight of sin, it is translated as sin, but it's really called missing the mark, is what my concordance said. It's called this sin, to describe it, it's missing the mark. It's not getting to the end. It is having a setting out on our course and our race we're going to run, but because of sin, I don't finish. Our race course is set. We each one have a different course to run. Nobody's is the same. Nobody has the same obstacles to go around. Nobody has the same length of race. Everybody's is different. God has laid out our path. It's in the hands of God. Never forget that. The path we have to walk, the race we have to run, is in God's hands. Therefore, when I get tired and I start letting these weights press on me and I start picking up a weight here, stop and think about it. Wait a minute. Is this what God intended? Is this what God wants for me? Is this what God wants for me? You ask yourself that. Your race, your course. May be beset with a lot of pain. It may be beset with sickness. It may be beset with what you think is inability. It may be. It may be beset with what you think is just bad luck. It's not. All these things that is in your pathway, God has them there. And don't try to get around them. God gives you grace to go through them. Run your race. Don't stop running. My life may be harder than yours. Your life may be harder than mine. Your cross may be heavier than mine, and my cross may be heavier than yours. I don't know. And the length of time you have to hang on that cross, whatever that means, maybe longer for you or less time for me. Maybe you'll hardly ever see a cross in my life. Maybe you'll see a lot of Christ. It's all beside the point. You must walk where God wants you to walk. And it doesn't matter where anybody else walks. You can be encouraged by them, but don't compare yourself with them. Your race, your course is set by God. There's things we have heard called besetting sins. Besetting sins. And I don't know what all that means, but this is my interpretation of it. A besetting sin is a sin that you try and try and try and try and try and can't get over. And it just keeps coming back. And it's a weight you carry. It just becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. You could call it an addiction. I am dependent on the mercy of God. Were it not for His mercy, I would have no hope. And because you're humans, I know you are too. You are dependent on the mercy of God. Were it not for the mercy of God, we would have no hope. His mercy is what sent Jesus down here, and His mercy is what gives me grace to continue on. I am dependent on the mercy of God. Jesus said one place, He said, you be careful now how you judge others. He said, the same judgment that you judge others is the way you're going to be judged. Now, that doesn't mean, so that means you let everybody go. Everybody's free and fine, and that way I'll be free and fine. What that means is that as we set our hearts to walk with God, and we have a righteous dedication, that we don't look at somebody else and say, he should be doing more, or he didn't do that quite right. He should do it differently. Maybe that's true. Maybe he should be doing it different. Maybe he didn't do it quite right. You do it right. You do it right. And let them, you can help them, we can bless them, we can encourage them, all those kind of things. But to determine how they're doing, that's in some ways not ours to do. Let God do that. Now, I know there's a place for brothers to love brothers and sisters to love sisters and the church to love one another and help each other along the way. There's a place to point out some of those things. But my life may be harder than yours. You may not understand what I'm going through. That's a good possibility there. I may not understand what you're going through. I may not. The point is, God wants us to run this race continually with perseverance and clear to the end. That's what God wants. One of the very first, I don't know if it's the first one or not, one of the first sins in the Bible was when Eve said, God came to Adam and he said, Adam, you must have eaten of the fruit. Well, yeah, it was a woman. She gave it to me. So God went to the woman and the woman said, it was a serpent. Okay. That's not a little sin. To try to blame others or try to reason our way around a sin that we have in our life is just that, a sin. We must admit, whenever we can't have it, whenever we have failed, we must say, I failed. God wants to give you grace to continue on. We dare not look at our temptations or failures and justify them because somebody else has done them also. If we do, I talked a little bit about, just mentioned a besetting sin. If we find ourselves there, and if it's even, maybe it's a sin that, maybe it's even something as small, if there is such a thing as a small sin, and, okay, I won't go into that. If we find ourselves doing that, and we're looking at others and saying, well, they did that. Why can't I? Dangerous path to walk on. That's getting real close to the edge of the path. You'll slip off if you keep walking there. Because God gave you your path, not their path. He gave you your race, not their race. So, if we do slip off, if we do get halfway and say, oh, I can't do this anymore. We turn around, there's a way back. There is a way back. And that's the grace and mercy of God. And the way back is by confession and repentance. Confession itself is not forgiveness. I can tell you all day long all the things I've done wrong in my life. I can confess, and it does me no good as far as receiving forgiveness. It's what has to be done to get to the place to where now we can repent. There is a way back. If I start out on this race and I find that I haven't done all that I should do, or I find this besetting sin that sometimes you don't even know it's a besetting sin. It's just something you've always done, and you wake up someday and say, wait a minute, I'm not even sure that's the right thing to do. That's hindering me. Confession and repentance. John tells us, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is right, but it's not the end. Just to confess something doesn't take you to forgiveness. It takes you to repentance, the need of repentance. In fact, Jesus said in his very first message he preached, the first words we have recorded that Jesus said, he said, and from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Peter at Pentecost, he said, he was talking to the people there, and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Repent. He says, repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what Peter said. That was from God. You're walking along, you're running along this road of life, and you get a little tired. You stumble. You think what you shouldn't have thought. You do what you shouldn't have done. And you realize that's wrong and that was a sin. God sends His Spirit into your heart and says, Mark, that was wrong. That's when you, yes, Lord, it was wrong. And I am sorry. And you quit doing that thing. A little later on there in the Acts there, he was preaching and Peter was preaching and he told them that they had denied the Holy One and just and desired a murder to be granted unto them, killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, we saw that, and through His name, through faith in His name, hath made, he was talking about the man that there had was lame and He healed him, this man made strong, whom you see and know. He said, but those things God hath showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer and hath so fulfilled. And He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We go back to Hebrews there. Hebrews. He says, wherefore we, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Seeing those cloud of witnesses, seeing all those people that have done before. This is right after Hebrews chapter 11. He talks about all the people that did all these things in faith. So, how do we do this? How do we run this race? By faith. Faith is, it's been described probably 100 different ways, but I like to think of it this way. Faith is simply that it is believing God. It's believing in God. It's believing God. Faith. So those people, those great cloud of witnesses, those people I won't go through all them. I won't go through any of them. Those people that did it, and they did it by faith because they believed God and believed in God. That's how we're going to do it too. We're going to endure to the end because we believe God. And you know, I'm talking to the choir here, I'm sure. In other words, you all know all this. I know all that, and you know all that. But maybe I'm the only one that needs this message. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that needs to be encouraged in this. But for me, then, at least, I need to keep persevering. And I can look at those people who have gone on before. I can look at all these people in Hebrews 11. I can look at other my parents and all the people I've known that have died. They remain faithful. That gives me courage. That blesses me. They can do it. I can do it. He says, this great cloud of witnesses, they did it by faith. Psalm says, David says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. We want to run this race all the way to the end, not letting up, not giving back, not turning back, not slowing down, not slacking up. Run it all the way to the end. Fervently, sincerely, we want to take this thing and go all the way with it so somebody can look at us and say, he's walking with God, and he's doing it with his whole heart. And there's no discrepancy or there's no impurity there. That's what we want. That you can look at me and I can look at you and know that we have done all we could do, and we've pursued all the way. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, as you run this race, acknowledge Him, and He'll help you go all the way through to the end. He'll direct your paths. A coach, whenever he has a young man come to him, whatever sport it is, doesn't matter, that young man has to have faith in his coach. He doesn't know how to kick the ball. He doesn't know how to hit the ball quite like he should. The coach has things he needs to tell him so that he can do it better. And he keeps practicing. And the coach encourages him. The coach corrects him here and corrects him there until he gets to where the coach says, good, you may play. That's what a coach does. Any aspiring athlete is going to take that kind of a heart, that kind of a spirit, and say, teach me, coach. Help me, coach. Show me the way. I don't know how to do this. That's the spirit also of a Christian. As we continue to walk with God, we say, God, help me. Teach me. Show me. And you know, sometimes God talks to us and speaks to us through other people. He speaks to us through the church. Not just and only, but he does that. He speaks to us privately. That's the way God can speak to us. He can speak to us in many different ways and through many different things. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Somehow I wish I can't do it. It's not possible to even be done. I wish somehow, and maybe you have all done it in your own heart and mind. You have seen Jesus. And you have him pictured here. He's more than a man. He was a man. We can read about him here in the book. But he's more than a man. We don't worship man. We worship Jesus. God. That's who we look up to. That's who we adore. That's who we honor. That's who we kneel down to. That's when we kneel down and pray, when we bow our heads and pray, when we humble our hearts and pray, we're praying to Almighty Jesus. He's not just a man, a good man that lived and died and rose again, and then the people saw him ascend up to heaven. He did all that, but he's more than that. He is our example. He's our God. I don't know how to describe him. There have been pages written about his magnificence and his power and his glory and who he is. And it's true. If we could just imagine, if I could do this for you, just imagine these steps right here. And they go up and up and up and up, up. They go up high. However high is, they go up high. And seated up there is Jesus. That's who we worship. That is our God. But he's also a man, a God that understands all of our needs. And I want to share with you, and it's written in the scriptures, a little bit about how I know that he knows, and how I know that some of the things he went through on his race, and yet we know he endured to the end. He says, it's such a beautiful story. It's in some sense a very sad story, but it's also a very beautiful story if we look at it as here's a man, Jesus as a man, and he was coming before his Father up there, and this is who he was. Then cometh Jesus unto them with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy, and he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, saith unto Peter, what? Couldn't you watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray, he said. Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, that you don't pick up these weights of sin that so easily beset us. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, we understand that. But Jesus didn't make allowance for that. He didn't give allowance for that. He just said, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And went away again the second time, prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. This is the Jesus that we're looking unto. And he came again and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. There's a couple things that tells us. That tells us that even Jesus prayed the same things again and again and again. It tells us also that what he prayed for, the Father did not give him. We know why and all that, but it's still a fact. In Luke, he gives a little bit more description or other description. He said, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was that were great drops of blood falling to the ground. He tells them, he said, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. You want to know how to overcome temptation? Rise and pray. Rise and pray. That doesn't mean stay where you are and pray. You can do that. But Jesus said, rise and pray. And if I could, I don't know if it's a little key or a little secret or not here, but let's say that it is. Let's rise and pray. When we are tempted, let's rise and pray. When we are becoming a little bit lackadaisical, we've become a little bit weak or a little bit lukewarm or a little bit less than, rise and pray, looking unto Jesus. That's how we're going to run our race. That's how we're going to win our race. Rise and pray. Lest ye enter into temptation, he says. A couple other things he tells us here. One thing it tells us, he prayed in solitude. Now, that means that he prayed in solitude. I'm sure I'm talking to a people that they do a lot of praying in solitude. I'm sure you do. But there may be some of us that don't do as much as we should. We're looking unto Jesus. That's how we're going to run this race, because we're looking unto Jesus. Another thing we learn about this is he asked his brethren to pray. He had a need, and he said, I'd like you to pray with me. Come and pray with me. He wasn't too good to admit he had some needs also. And that can apply to all of us too. Let's pray together. He asked his brethren to pray. Another thing we can see in this, we're looking unto Jesus now. We're looking unto Jesus at how we're going to run this race, how we're going to keep these weights of sin off of us, how we're going to complete this race in full glory, whatever that means. I don't know what it'll mean. I'll just be so glad to have a little corner in heaven if that's possible. But I can imagine there's going to be some of you that's going to, it's going to be glorious. Maybe all of us. I hope all of us. It's going to be glorious when we're willing to rise and pray, when we're willing to walk with Jesus, when we're willing to run this race, we're willing to give it all we've got. It's going to be glorious. Worth every step of the way, young men. Worth every step of the way, young ladies. Old men, old ladies, worth every step of the way. It's going to be glorious. Another thing we read in this part where he's talking, where Jesus is, where he prayed that prayer. He had a need, and he confessed it. He was in sorrow. He was in sorrow. He prayed earnestly. His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. I don't know if that means he blood come out of his pores or not. Personally, I don't think so, but I don't know. I think it was just, you know, when you're really working hard and the sweat just, maybe some of you don't, it just pours off of you. I think that's what happened. It was just pouring off of him. Now, I doubt if any of us have ever prayed to that extent. We're looking unto Jesus. That's how we're going to run this race. We're looking unto Jesus. Another thing we read, we can learn here, he said, not my will but thine be done. He trusted his Father. He trusted the one who set his course before him. He trusted the one who laid out his race. He trusted him. He said, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. He was willing to talk to his Father as he would talk to a father. And that is, if you would, Father, could you take this cup away from me? He was willing to be completely honest with what he needed and what he wanted. I suppose you all are when you pray. But, you know, I found myself realizing I haven't prayed about this thing like I should have. And I realized when I look into my own mind, it was a matter of, I wasn't sure the Lord was interested in that, and I could probably make the decision anyway. That's not a good thing. He trusted his Father completely. He bore his heart. He didn't hide anything from him. We're looking unto Jesus. He asked his Father to take the cup away. The Father didn't take it away. He was absolutely submitted. Absolutely submitted. We're looking unto Jesus. It wasn't a quick prayer. You know what I mean by that? A quick prayer. Not to say that quick prayers are wrong, but it wasn't a quick prayer. It was a prayer that was, it was a heart prayer. It was a deep prayer. And I'm not saying every time we pray we should have deep prayers and great sweat breaks out on our forehead at all. I'm not saying that. I am saying, though, that we're looking unto Jesus. You wonder, why is my race so hard? Why can't I run this thing better? Why am I going so slow? I don't know the answer to that, but I know this. You keep looking to Jesus. This besetting sin is because we have missed the mark. That's what that's talking about. This sin that he calls sin. Sin, that sin means he's missed the mark. He restarted out, but he trailed off and got lost. Ever happened to you? Unforgiveness? You know, this thing just keeps coming up. I keep thinking about it, just keeps coming up. Bitterness and unforgiveness come real close together. Unforgiveness. Jesus said, if you don't forgive those who trespassed against you, neither will I forgive you. And we've talked a little bit about some of these all along here. The hidden sins and secret sins. Those sins that you just won't hardly even admit yourself that you have them. Those kinds of things. Hypocrisy. I already mentioned that. I'll say it again. Acting something different than you are. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure means all the way through the same thing. And holy. You examine yourself. You decide. Am I walking with Jesus with the same spirit that he had, the same praying the same prayers he prayed, looking unto Jesus, submitting myself, going where the Father wants me to go, enduring to the end? That's what Jesus did. Is that me? You decide yourself and be honest. Be real honest. Be real honest. I think I heard it from Brother Dean. I'm not sure where he got it. I think he got it somewhere, but I'm not sure. He said, God can't change the person you're pretending to be. He can't change that person. All he can change is the person you are. That's the only person he can change.